Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 151, part 1. Forgiveness and condemnation can't mix. Today is Friday, June 11th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, and the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix. Forgiveness and condemnation can't mix. To not look to the Word of God and say, and yet there is no condemnation to me, for I am in Christ Jesus. I believe, though, that some of you listening on the radio, judging from the letters, judging from the telephone calls, are like the man that never strives against sin, the man that never has a battle, the man that has to get out of bed at night, never like that, has to get out of bed at night and plead with God for the victory. The man who can read the Bible faithfully and never feel any conviction whatsoever. Maybe the person who says, I am perfect and without fault. The person I'm talking about who can't understand why a person can have so much trouble with one sin, like let's say alcohol. Or let's say gossip, or let's say judging, or drugs, or covetousness or homosexuality or thoughts of lesbianism or porno or you name it, some spiritual battle. I'm saying if you seem to have no trials, you're listening on the radio, you might very well then begin to wonder whether you know anything at all about spiritual life. If you've never had a battle, if you can't understand why people are having problems with their alcohol or their gossip or their covetousness or their drugs or their homosexuality or their lesbianism or their judging, then you're wholly in a battle with themselves all of the time. That person will always and inevitably preach what's in their heart, condemnation, always. Because the life isn't there. Because he knows nothing about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about getting into it. Spiritual warfare, you say, from the radio. What's that? You probably look at people that are having problems and say, I just don't understand because I have no problems. I just can't imagine. It's like having a toothache and you're trying to explain, oh, I got this terrible toothache. And the other person says, well, I don't feel it. Well, I'm telling you, it's terrible. The pain is excruciating. What's that to me? I don't feel it. And he's never suffered any kind of pain. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Whew. And I praise God, I'm not like some others, they say, wearing that heavy suit of armor, and look right there in church. Oh, heavy armor right there in church. I praise God, I'm not like that. How ridiculous they look, you say. Look at me, I've never had to wear any of that kind of armor, that uncomfortable attire. I mean, what's it all about, Alfie? And they can't understand because they've never been through. And they can't understand because they haven't walked in an experience with Jesus Christ. Walking with Jesus is an experience. And when you're having an experience in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, you're going to have trial. You're going to have temptation. Now, don't turn that around, condemn yourself, fall into that thing, fill your heart with condemnation, and preach it out to other people. Because that which you put out there will come back to yourselves. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, none. So even if you're listening to me and you feel condemned, don't preach it. Whatsoever that ye put out there, whatsoever that ye sow, so shall ye reap. And it will come back, and it will haunt you. Preach not, Paul says, condemnation. How many are hearing this tonight? Woo! But I mean, what's the big deal, it says, crying up there at the altar, God help me. And look, there goes that same woman again, crying all the time over one sin. I just wonder if they're saved like I am. Seems to me she has an awful time. Makes me wonder about her, don't you know? But that man who feels a daily striving after deliverance from evil, who is panting and pining and longing and crying out and agonizing to become holy, even as God is holy, he is a justified man if he doesn't make it one tithering of an inch. In that he has it in his heart to do that, God will give him credit. In that he has it in his heart, that will soften him and to preach to other people. Because his heart is full of this. His heart is full of a crying out and an agonizing and a panting and a pining and a longing. That's what that man will give out. The man to every sin is a misery, to whom every thought of iniquity is intolerable. And I believe he is a man with great confidence that then may declare, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And also, I believe that souls that are sighing after holiness are not condemned to eternal life because their sighing proves that they are in Christ Jesus. That proves it. And notice that the text is written here in the very present tense. Listen to it. The word now gives it power. This word now shows how distinctly that the statement of non-condemnation is consistent, that mingled with experiences in chapter 7. Are you hearing it? This passage describes a conflict with the ungenerate that the ungenerate cannot feel. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, and I finally got it. He got it in chapter 8. Wow. There is therefore now. Now it's got power because it can talk to you right now where you're sitting, where you're listening on the radio. Right now it's got power for you. Why? Because they do not delight in God after the inward man, nor do they agonize to be set free from the presence of sin. I believe that every child of God must know the conflict if he knows himself. I know the conflict within. I know the battle within. I know the warring within my own soul. And I believe every blood-bought Christian knows that conflict, but doesn't know himself as a condemned man. There is a striving after God, there is a coming after God, there is a running after God, but there is no condemnation. Now includes all, everywhere, and at all times. Now. Now, you that are sitting in the bar, right now. You that are blood-bought, and you're out there and you're into conflicts, and you're guzzling beer, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. Oh, you're telling me to go out and drink. No, I didn't say that. I said that there is no condemnation for you. You are blood bought. What are you doing in there anyway? Answer the question at hand. There is therefore now no condemnation to you. You that are out there and you're in the prison, you slipped and you fell. There's no condemnation to you. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you got sin in your mind. There is no condemnation for you. Now when you start to repeat that, you'll start to get free in your spirit. When you get pickled in the grace message, you'll start to get free. You're not all bound up with trying. You're saying, well, praise God, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And now you'll know where you're at. You're in Christ Jesus. It's only when you don't know where you're at that you condemn yourself. As you start to open up your head and you get into all those things that are bothering you, there is therefore no condemnation. But anyway, when Paul speaks about that inward contention, he writes in the first person, and he speaks of himself. He says, I find then a law that when I... He's talking about himself. He ain't talking about somebody else. He has found victory. I find then a law that when I... do good, evil is always present with who? Me. Well, if you're going to do good, evil's going to be around you. Say amen, preacher listening on the radio. Say amen, people listening on the radio, listening in this audience. Wherever good is done, evil is always present. Well, evil can take a vacation from you if you ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to bother you. You're busy condemning everybody. You say, hooray, evil's on your side. Is that right? You're out there, yeah, whiplashing everybody. Well, if you ain't doing no good, then you're doing evil. Say amen, somebody. Whilst you're doing that, evil can take a vacation from you and just walk away and say, this guy's well, this person is well in hand. Just leave them over there. They're doing fine. They're all set up to do evil. And hey, let me tell you, evil comes along. It can fool you every time. You think you're doing good, and you ain't doing good. You're doing evil. And you know what? When you lay down at night, and you lay there with your gut all full of knots. How many have had knots in their gut? I have. You never had knots in your gut from what you did? Put your hand up. My God, I have. Well, then I know I haven't been doing good. I've been going the whole day thinking I was doing all right, and I was doing evil. But then he goes on and he humbles himself just a little bit further. I love this. Now listen to it. Oh, wretched man that I am. not old wretched people that made me this way, but oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver who? Me, from the body of this death. But then when he comes to write upon the privileges of the children of God, he does not write in the first person, listen. But he speaks of them in very general terms, and listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them. Isn't that generous? He enters everybody into the blessing, which are in Christ Jesus. I mean, right here, his very deep humility goes ahead and displays itself. His very self-remembrance is self-annihilation. If you're going to kill anybody, kill yourself. Die daily, it says. It doesn't say help other people to die daily, does it? I die daily. Well, a lot of times we help each other die, don't we? We get on the horn and we say, a so-and-so is a dying. Let's help him die. We take our products and we go around. We're just sort of like Avon calling, ding dong. Now, I know a person that years ago that sold Avon. And I'll tell you why she sold so much Avon. Because wherever that she went, she rang that doorbell and she'd go inside and she'd have gossip from all the way around the cities. And she'd get in there and then people would say, they'd smack their lips and they'd greedily buy their thing and they'd wait. They bought it. Now, okay, now give me what I've got coming. And they'd get all their gossip in. Avon calling. How many hearing this? Oh, ain't it the truth? Amen. I got preachers calling from all over the city. And all over St. Paul now that we're over in there. Say, well, so-and-so has gone here and so-and-so has gone there. And I says, them is Avon people. What do you mean by that? I said, they ring the bell and they go in and they sell their goods. When the people get done with them, they call them lousy because they get guilty off of just having the person in the door, and pretty soon they cast them aside. Nobody wants them. Are you hearing this? Woo! I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. Oh, God. Woo! See, he lowers himself, but he puts his brethren into a high place of honor and esteem. There is therefore no condemnation to them. Isn't that generous? Isn't that what we should be preaching? There is no condemnation for them. Now when he talks about himself, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? How am I ever going to get out of this thing? And he finds himself in Romans 8. Praise God. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Let them Avon people ring all the bells they want to. It won't make no never mind because God is the one that judges me. Say amen, somebody, and that's the way it's got to be in the house of God. You've got to start turning yourself into the Lord and know in the end times, my God, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, absolutely, positively not. There's going to come a time when brothers against brother and sisters against sister, and the Bible says so. And the enemy will be in his own household. No? Now listen to what I'm saying. But still there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That is his confession. And theirs he has is a confidence. Now he confesses about himself. And then he goes ahead and he gives them confidence. No, there's no condemnation to them, to you. I'm a wretched man. There's no condemnation to you. How many are hearing this? He lifts the believers up and he lowers himself down. See, what a man says much. What I just said there is what a man says much about himself. Now, if there's one thing I'm learning how to do is keep my mouth shut. See, people don't know you're ignorant till you open up your yap. You can walk around looking real important, you know, and they say, oh, that guy looks like he knows something. You ever known somebody like that? And they really look, this guy really looks dignified, and he looks like he knows what he's talking about until he talks. What a man says much. Oh, I hit a nerve. Now, I know this isn't plugged in, my God, but it's done by faith. There's a nerve. It hit a nerve. Somebody on the radio. Somebody on this tape. What a man says much about the man. But he could have said, there is therefore now no condemnation to me, for I am in Christ Jesus. And you know what? That would have been true. But it wouldn't have been after the manner of the lowly Paul. It would have been true what he said there. It would have been 100% true. But it wouldn't have been done in the spirit of humility. See, he always had sympathy towards others. Oh, check yourself that you always, I don't care what people do to you. It doesn't matter. Always have sympathy towards that person. Did you hear that? Have sympathy. I didn't say that you had to go run with them. I said have sympathy towards that person. Because if you're not going to show mercy, you ain't going to get no mercy. Ooh, hey, and one thing we need in the house of God, each one of us, is mercy. Mercy me. Is anybody in here doesn't need mercy? Anybody on the radio doesn't need mercy? Well, you know how to get it? Being merciful. Did you know that? Being merciful. I didn't say being a dumb or being a sucker. I said being merciful. Merciful doesn't mean you're a dummy. Merciful means that you're merciful. You show mercy, and you're full of it. Oh, I heard that. Remember years ago, there was a guy just irritated me. I could tell by the knock on the door he was coming. Nah, I just loathe that man, because he would always dig at me and come on me so hard, and I thought, no, I'm not going to let him. The Lord says, separate yourself from that man. I separated myself from that man, and about 2 years later, I seen him. I thought, my God, that man had changed, and the Lord says, no, he hasn't changed at all. You have. You gain more mercy. You've gained more wisdom. You've gained more understanding. Now you're able to put up with it. You've learned a lot about yourself. Yeah, if you don't have mercy, you won't receive mercy. Okay, let's stop waiting and get into deep water now. I believe, of course, some can use this to enter into the school of modern thought. No condemnation. Well, let's just go do our own thing then. No condemnation. No, give me a double whiskey and a water wash. No condemnation. Huh? It's like Satan said, you shall not surely die. I think the doctrine of no punishment is a real popular one. Satan's favorite trick, honest doubt. Yea, hath God said? I mean, think about it. Can it be so? Isn't God far too merciful? Is it possible that the God of love would condemn and punish his creatures? I didn't talk about saved people. Not talking about saved people. You hear this? Now I leave it to you, Satan says. But he does talk to saved people too. Those who deny any penalty for sin would say like this, there is therefore now no condemnation to any man, no matter how he lives. And some preach, you can live in sin. You may die impenitent, but it won't matter, for when you die, that's it! No, that's not it. When you die, you go one place or another. If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're not saved, you go to where? Hell! Isn't that simple? Well, now we like to teach in between that. I'm not going to teach in between that. I'm going to say you're saved, you go to heaven. You're unsaved, you go to hell. There's no condemnation for you, understand? Oh, there's a lot of consequences for choices that you make. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of things that we do that cause us to live miserably. And some say if you die unforgiven, you can be prayed in. They can say masses over you. So you can sort of take the long road, but you'll still make it. No, there's no such thing as a purgatory. If there was, you'd lay up there and freeze to death. Did you hear me? There is no such place. You either go or you don't go. That's it. It's a one-way ticket. Then we have those that are out there saying there is no hell. And one becomes stony-hearted. And this is the gospel according to Satan. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that's saying you must be born again. Jesus is saying, is your righteousness, he that believeth not shall be damned. Are you hearing this? He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, isn't that simple? And why are you preaching this simple message? Because you know why? Because people get bound up and they don't know really where they're at. They have to start from scratch. Have to start all over again. He that believeth not shall not see life. Now, I wonder how many of the churches out there right now never tell the folks without Jesus you are condemned to hell. You are under the wrath to come. And I think right now we should tell the preachers and priests out there that are saved and have special meetings for the saved. And then another meeting for the unsaved. Some churches are having three meetings. The saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the unsaved. Whew. Isn't that darkness and light preaching? Isn't that allowing Satan to have his way? That is the teaching the doctrine of demons and Jesus? I think right now that is the most double-minded, two-faced, cowardly, lying, denying the power of God, compromising, let's say hideous, unloving, uncaring, black-hearted, filthy, mammon-loving, fearful of man, hellish, contemptible, and from the pit, preaching, when all you have to say is believe on the Son and you shall be saved. Come on up to the altar and get saved. Whew. How can we, as you preachers, listen now, how can we, as minister of the gospel, saved, not minister the gospel? I was over with politicians, and I was asked to get up and give a little a summary of what we were doing. And I got up, and I said, well, I only know gospel, and I gave them gospel. And they looked around like, is this man crazy? You know what? I didn't feel a bit awkward. I would have felt awkward if I would have just got up and tried to give a nice summation, a worldly summation. And you know what happened out of that situation? One of the hardest politicians come to talk about Jesus about 3 weeks later and is raising some $6,000 for this ministry. Now, what do you think about that? I think it pays off to preach the gospel. That's what I think. And not only that, they called the day and there's $1,500 coming off of that message. Now, what do you think of that? I think it's time to say praise the Lord is what I think. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be a perfect person to preach it. There is no such thing. Guy asked me today, so he was looking for a church. You've been here, you've been there, you've been all over. I said, well, now, what are you looking for? A perfect church? He says, well, near as I can. I says, well, if you find a perfect church, don't go in there. You'll ruin it. Isn't that right? Any of us that are looking for the perfect church, if we enter into that church, we will ruin it. Oh, but I couldn't tell my husband something like that, that he'll go to hell if he doesn't have Jesus. I couldn't tell my boyfriend that. I would never go to my church and tell my preacher that. Oh, no, that is too terrible. I love them too much. You don't love them. If you loved them, you'd tell them the truth. I was ironing my shirt out the other day, and I noticed that they had all these wrinkles in there. I thought, well, they ain't coming out. But then the iron got good and hot, and that steam started coming out. And you know what? All the wrinkles came out of that thing immediately. Every last one of them. Just like, oh man, just like it was not even there, just shooting, all the wrinkles came out of that shirt. And I thought, isn't that like the soul? It's all full of wrinkles. It needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and it gets all the word, that hot word in there, and it starts to take all the wrinkles out of it. Filled with the Holy Ghost to take all of the wrinkles out of our soul. Hallelujah. But we must obey God and fear not man. Better fear God. I thought about that one. A lot of times when you get into ministries, and I know there's there are churches out in Wisconsin way that I've been to when I was out there. And in a two-year period, they had something like 8 or 9 preachers there. I think it's because those preachers feared man. 8 and 9 in one church. Some of them would go out there and have nervous breakdowns. One guy died at the pulpit. I'm not kidding you. Because they feared man. Well, does that mean you take a whip out? No, that doesn't mean that at all, because they'll take a whip out and beat you up alongside of your head. You might get by the once or twice. Ooh. But I love you, so I'm going to warn you. You listening, you shall not perish because I preach flattering words to you. You must be born again. Should I sew with a needle, without a needle, so I won't hurt the fabric? No, you got to have that sharp needle go through that fabric so that smooth silk thread can pass after it. Do you ever take a bath without water? Go on in the shower sometime, take up an old dry bar of soap and try to wash yourself without any water. No, you got to have it. You got to have the substance and you got to do the thing. That's just like taking the Word of God here. You got to use it. You got to bathe in it. You got to partake of it. Are you hearing it? Because if your sins aren't forgiven, if your sins aren't under the blood, you will go, it says in the Bible, to hell forever. And it cannot, the Bible says, be otherwise. Any other gospel, the Bible says, is another gospel, and it's the gospel of demons, and it's Satan's gospel. Okay, now let me describe the believer's position. He is in Christ Jesus. Now, I saw a brother the other day, and I thought, now for sure, this man is not walking in the Lord. And the Lord reminded me, he is in Christ Jesus. Oh, and I know there's a lot of preaching, and a lot of it on the north side here, too. That, are you saved? Is he still saved? Did you ever feel like, am I saved? While you were saying that to somebody? One time I was at a meeting, there was about 9, 10 pastors there, and he said, and they were going back and forth, oh, I seen Fred or Pete or Mike or whatever. Is he still saved? And I let him all, well, I don't know if he is or not. It's really hard to tell. And they went around and around and around. They got all done. And I says, you know what? I says, it's kind of hard to tell if any of us are saved. The way we doubt salvation so much. If this man is walking in faith and he's by faith saved, grace has saved him, who are you to say that he isn't? I mean, if you doubt it for him, you're going to doubt it for yourself. If I doubt salvation for another man that says he's saved, then I doubt it for myself. He says, well, yeah, I was saved in 1980, and it doesn't look like he's been doing much, and he's out there, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's doing this. Sure, he hasn't got a good track record, but he's still in the race. And one thing, if I judge that man, so am I judged. Oh, he isn't in the race. Well, as you judge, so shall you be judged. You're not in the race then either. And the more you get into that, the drier you get. Did you ever get into that kind of thing? Or maybe just for a few minutes, you kind of get into it. You know what I mean? And you start to get dry. And you start to get critical and mean. No. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Don't we understand that? Got to fully understand that message. Because if you don't, you're going to be miserable. There is therefore no condemnation by a simple act of dependence upon Jesus.